Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm animated.
Ooh. That's punny.
Exactly. Especially considering this episode and how the animation is,
Yeah, we're going to discuss that, I think, certainly, because it really is a big part of it. Yeah, this week, folks, we are doing Some Enchanted Evening, episode 7G01, the last episode of the first season. Yay, Matt, we made it through the first season.
Woo! Get some better episodes soon.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I mean, we're getting through the prime time year, second season. I was looking through. It doesn't seem like there's no losers among them.
There's really not. It's kind of amazing how good the quality it ramps up throughout the first season and stays good for so many years. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. Some Enchanted Evening originally aired May 13th, 1990. It was written by Matt Groening and Sam Simon, directed by David Silverman and Kent Butterworth. The chalkboard gag is, "I will not yell fire in a crowded classroom." Which, yeah, that's not bad. Couch gag is none. And it's a repeat of Call of the Simpsons. He used the same one. There's apparently only 5 couch gags in the first season. They just reuse them whenever necessary. Yeah, before we really get into the events of the show, I think it is worth... Matt has already mentioned the animation in this. And this was, as evidenced by the 7G01, that is production order. And 01 means this is supposed to be the first episode of The Simpsons. But they got it back from the animators, and it was so bad that it almost got the show canceled.
Which really, I mean, looking at this episode, how much worse could... I mean, I understand it probably could have been Flintstones-level quality, but damn.
Yeah, I believe James L. Brooks' official words were, this is shit, I quote-unquote. I try and keep the curse words out, but I'm quoting James L. Brooks on that. And there's arguments with the animators... about that, I think he questioned the writing of the show at the time. The animators didn't really understand what they wanted, the show to look like, from what they've said that, you know, at that time, animators really only, like, were educated, like, in Disney style or Warner Brothers style or, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, they had, in the first version, apparently everything was kind of rubbery, like doors would shake for a bit after they closed them.
Which is, you know, Warner Brothers, Hanna-Barbera style stuff, which is just, it's so anathema to what The Simpsons is like and the realistic style they were going for. It kind of makes you wonder if, like, did they actually talk to the animators at all to let them know, or what?
Yeah, they didn't try, apparently they were going after one of those styles instead of just trying to make their style look like Matt Groening's drawing style. Apparently it was so bad that Fox was considering pulling the plug on everything. They you know, Bart the Genius, which was the second production in production order, came back bad, and they might have pulled the plug on The Simpsons, and it would have been over before it began. And unfortunately for us and for The Simpsons, it was a lot better. It was only a few minor errors. But with this episode having the animation so bad, Kent Butterworth originally directed the whole thing, but then David Silverman had to come back, and by his numbers, he says about 70% of the show was redone. And the 70% that was redone looks fine. The 30% that was not redone looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a really stark contrast between the two that I'm surprised they let sit there. And
yeah, you can – and we will point out in the summary of the show when they were it's very clear when they used the original, because basically the animation that was new matches pretty much the best animation from the last part of the season, which was getting better and pretty much matching the quality of that we'd see season 2, 3, and 4, you know, what we kind of expect. But you can tell the difference when you're watching it. The episode starts with the Simpsons eating breakfast. They're, you know, woofing things down in the standard kind of Simpsons way. Marge is trying to take care of them. They're listening to the radio that mentions Bill Pye, who is not yet Arnie Pye in the sky. He's Bill Pye in the sky. And they end up changing his name later on.
Yeah, why do they change his name? Do we ever get under...
I don't think they have... I never heard a reason. I'm just... Arnie sounds more cartoony. Arnie Pie, and it sounds more, you know, you more it rhymes better, it flows better.
Like a fake name they would give the actually, like, oh, he was Bill Pie. We made him Arnie because it, you know, it sounded funnier.
I don't know. Homer and the kids go off to school and work. They don't, neither Bart nor Lisa take the lunches that Marge had prepared. They just take money to buy lunch. Homer, you know, just runs off without kissing her goodbye. She's obviously frustrated. She, you know, Maggie's even asleep in her high chair. This is kind of the setup to the whole episode because she's frustrated. Here's the radio. Here's Marvin Monroe on the radio. He's like a call-in psychologist, call-in psychiatrist, whichever. And she calls in. And Homer's listening at work at the same time to the radio show. And she starts complaining about Homer. And we'll pull this clip for you and play it because I think it is one of the more auditory parts of the show. And it really sets up how much Marge is upset with Homer.
Okay, let's see. Next we have Marge. She's 34 and trapped in a loveless sham of a marriage.
Hey, turn it up. I love hearing those wackos.
Tell me about your husband, Marge.
Well, when we were dating, he was sweeter and more romantic and 40 pounds thinner, and he had hair, and he ate with utensils.
What was that last thing you said? Hey, isn't that your wife, Homer?
Don't be ridiculous. My wife worships the ground I walk on.
Marge, it's what I call harsh reality time.
Oh.
Your husband sees you as nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
No. Don't hang up. The pig has made you into his mother. You are not the hot love object you deserve to be.
Really?
I'm as sure of it as I'm sure my voice is annoying. Marge, tonight, the second he comes through that front door, you've got to tell him you're fed up. And if he doesn't start loving, you'll be leaving.
Leave Homer?
Please, don't use his real name.
Leave Pedro?
Can you be that honest, Marge?
Yeah.
You'll tell him right when he comes home from work.
Yeah.
Say it like you mean it.
Yeah.
All the guys at work know that she's talking about Homer. She's breaking down crying at the end.
Are you sure it's Homer? I thought it was Pedro.
Yeah, she's correct. Don't use his real name. Oh, Pedro. But Homer hears it, is tipped off by listening to the radio at the plant, decides to do something. Like, he doesn't know what to do, but he knows that she's upset. We basically cut to him after work at Moe's Tavern. We get a Moe's prank call from Bart. It is the alcoholic, last name Kaholic, first name Al. And the most alarming part of this is Moe saying, "I swear I'll cut your belly open."
Well, I mean, that was a traditional punishment for kids back in the days, right?
I don't think so, Matt. But this will be the first episode to be on network television. They're going to have Moe telling he's going to cut children's bellies open. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I heard that on the Flintstones, too.
Always my favorite part of Moe's. The prank calls was always Moe's reaction because he's always unbelievably violent. Homer's at the bar. He asked for advice from you know, Moe's like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, my wife hates me, blah, 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 blah." And Moe actually gives him pretty funny and good advice about, you know, what to do, how to solve the situation. And I actually want to play this, too, just because I think it's very apt and actually very insightful for Moe, something you're not necessarily going to get from Moe later on in the series.
It really is the best advice Moe gives anybody at any time. After this, it's all downhill.
So here it is.
Homer.
What?
Marge is right. You are a pig. You can ask anyone in this bar.
What? Hey, Barney, am I a pig?
You're more of a pig than I am.
Oh, no.
See? You're a pig. Barney's a pig. Larry's a pig. We're all pigs. Except for one difference. Once in a while, we can crawl out of the slop, hose ourselves off, and act like human beings. Homer, buy your wife some flowers and take her out for a night on the town. Candles, tablecloth, the whole nine yards.
Gee, a romantic evening. Nah, she's too smart to fall for that.
I'm not done. After dinner, the two of you are going to check into the fanciest motel in town and not check out until the next morning, if you get my drift.
I read you loud and clear.
We cut back to the house. Marge is waiting for Homer, just waiting at the door, getting angrier and angrier and angrier. There's like even a little dream sequence with Marvin Monroe's like lines that all the stuff he told her kind of floating around in the background. Even the background starts to melt a little bit, like almost like a Dali painting. It's really gorgeous, actually. And the previous sequence at Moe's Tavern was from the originals. You can tell because it looks awful. And Moe and Barney are off model. Like Barney still has the yellow hair, and Moe's hair is black.
The kids pop on and say, "Hey, where's dinner?" And Marge just growls at them.
Yeah, they actually use an animal noise, which is something they did. I don't know if they've ever done that since. Use just an actual animal noise for a person talking. But it sells Marge's anger. But Homer goes to a flower shop to get one rose, because that's all he can afford. And that is also from the old animation, because the flower shop looks fine, but then the entire background is just green. And it doesn't really set off the colors and the brightness of the flowers very well when you have green plants on a green background. So Homer comes home. He's, you know, he has chocolates and the rose, and he's like kind of rehearsing outside in the rain. He finally gets the nerve up, goes inside, and Marge is angry right in the very first instant, but then he gives her the rose and the chocolate and says he loves her, and she immediately melts. She immediately is like, "Yeah, I love you too, Homer."
I wonder if it ever occurs to her that, oh, he obviously heard me on the radio. No, but no, she just goes with it.
Yeah, it's very emblematic of what their relationship really becomes throughout the whole series, is that whatever Homer does, she just is always forgives him. She just always has this well of forgiveness inside of her, and she just can't stay angry at him.
No, and she just has no self-esteem whatsoever.
It's not necessarily that.
No,
I don't think it's necessarily so.
She has an infinite reserve of compassion for him for some reason.
Marge is very patient. She would have to be married to Homer. So we get this is at the time we get the second prank call to Moe's, which is all of her clothes off. Marge and Homer are going to go, he's going to take her out dinner and dancing, and then they're going to go to, you know, stay the night at the off-ramp inn,
which is a great name.
Classy establishment. They happen to Marge happens to pick up the phone right when the prank call is going on, and Moe is basically screaming that he's going to kill the children again. They call babysitting service. The old lady is voiced by June Foray. It's a little tidbit. Who's famous for many, many, many old cartoon voices. Did tons of Warner Brothers work. Lots of Disney work. Probably she's the counterpart to Mel Blanc, female counterpart to Mel Blanc. She did tons of voice acting, and she does the voice of the Happy Little Elves as well as the voice of the old lady who answers the phone at the babysitting service. Marge foolishly gives them their real name, and we find out that the kids they're blacklisted from this babysitting service because they've done such horrible things to babysitters in the past, apparently. Homer recalls them back using a fake name, which I would think they would know the address, but whatever. Samson, they're the Samsons, not the Simpsons. And they end up getting a babysitter, shows up, who we are introduced to Miss Botts, voiced by the, by famous, actress, comedian, Penny Marshall, Laverne and Shirley, many, many other things. She does a very good job with this. She is extremely menacing and dangerous. And you kind of get, even before she does anything bad, you get the idea that she is not to be messed with.
She's tough love. She was the original Nanny 911.
And Matt Groening actually says that he had many babysitters as a child, and Miss Botts was actually his favorite babysitter. So this is how he rewards his babysitters as a childhood babysitter. She names them, it makes them the babysitter bandit.
Well, and to be fair, her actual name was Botsikowski, so you know.
Nah, whatever. It's the same. They end up watching The Happy Little Elves, which Lisa and Maggie are quite happy with. Bart is not so happy. He calls them the crappy little elves. And Miss Botts threatens him to calm down and watch it, which he does. He kowtows to her. Maggie is put to bed. They finish watching Happy Little Elves, and they switch over to America's Most Armed and Dangerous, which is America's Most Wanted, which I believe was actually airing after The Simpsons at this point.
I would imagine so, because it's also a Fox property, so.
Yeah, I think it was airing right after The Simpsons at this point. So this is a clear parody of that. But they have a feature of the Babysitter Bandit, and all the things match up to make the point that it's Ms. Botts is the one who does it. They try to run away from her when she comes to tie them up, and they try and escape. Bart is down in the basement, which is an homage to Night of the Hunter, a classic thriller. And I want to play the clip at least of her talking, trying to hunt Bart in the basement, because it's a really kind of creepy scene, and it really sells the menace that Penny Marshall gives Ms. Botts. So here it is.
Bart. Time to brush your teeth, wash your face,
and say your prayers.
Are you in here? Oh, homemade pickled beets.
Go ahead, take them all. Seeing as no one was hurt, I think it would be really silly to dwell on this.
She ends up catching them, tying them up. Homer and Marge are in the hotel, which we learn a few facts of this facts about them, which we don't think we've known yet. They mention, you know, it's been 11 years since they've been married, which I don't think we've had a timeline on their marriage up to this point. You know, they've been married just long enough to have Bart, which I think they change. I mean, I believe they, you know, Marge is pregnant when they get married later on in The Way We Was, isn't that? I believe that's...
Yes, she is. She is pregnant, and they literally get married like weeks or hours before she has Bart.
Yeah, so that may be it. I don't know. 11 years. It depends on, I guess, how they want to stretch it. That works. Marge excuses herself to change into something more comfortable. Homer makes a statement about the blue thing with the things.
So descriptive.
Referring to lingerie. And apparently Fox really didn't like that. They thought that was too risque.
The blue thing with the things. It's very risque. You have no idea.
That's really suggestive. Who knows what that could mean? Whatever. Marge comes back in lingerie, and Homer makes that kind of self-satisfied noise. I think it's the first time he's done it that it wasn't about food. Actually, it is the most kind of adult situation we've seen them in together yet. We've never seen any kind of sexual moments between Marge and Homer yet. So this is the first time we've really seen it. We cut back to the house, and Maggie escapes from her crib. She uses her acrobatic skills, which is the first of many times we see this later on in the series. Maggie just generally is an escape artist.
Not to mention the hero.
Honestly, she is the hero. She ends up, she unties Bart and Lisa. They sucker Ms. Botts into a room and knock her unconscious, then hogtie her. They have to leave the house because she's apparently, like, pulled out the phone cords.
Well, because she was going to steal all the phones. They're very valuable.
Phones, yes. Rotary phones, very valuable. You can pawn them for $3. They go leave the house, go to a payphone, and call America's Most Armed and Dangerous. At the same time, the parents call in, get no answer, and so Marge says, we should go home and check on them. And Homer's like, all right, quote unquote, my work here is done.
So obviously he's cleaned the room. That's what he's talking about, right?
Yes, Matt. That is what he's talking about. But they go home, they find Ms. Botts hogtied in front of the television, forced to watch Happy Little Elves.
Which I'm pretty sure is a violation of the Geneva Convention.
It's pretty bad. I can't imagine being forced to watch that for too long. But they let her free. Homer himself carries out her luggage that is full with their possessions and gives her triple her allotted pay for the night. Just for her trouble.
Which I'm sure was like $6.
I don't know. In that, probably $10.
That's true. It was triple the pay.
Just as she drives off, the cops pull up with the kids, and Homer finds out that he just let Babysitter Bandit loose, you know, a fugitive fugitive from justice.
No, he didn't let her loose. It was one of those kung fu things like you see on TV or in the movies.
Yes, we get Homer on the news and Homer Simpson, local boob, as the descriptor. The episode ends with Marge and Homer in bed, as many episodes do. Homer says, "Lord help me, I'm just not that bright," which you don't really see him admitting his stupidity too often. So that it's kind of a little touching thing. Marge, the way I see it, if you raise three children who can knock out and hogtie a perfect stranger, you must be doing something right. And then the episode ends with them kind of getting frisky again. And the season ends that way as well.
It's a good way to end the season, getting frisky.
Yeah, sure, why not? This episode is okay. A lot of people describe it as one of the weakest of the first season, and I think what really holds it back is that the bad animation.
Well, the bad animation, the story is very, I don't know, it starts off very sitcom tropey.
And it takes a while to get going.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a lot of the similarities of the lesser episodes of the first season is that they just take a long time to get going. In The Simpsons later on, they just figure out, we just get right to the point. There's no wasting time.
That's true. In most of the later episodes, within 2, maybe 3 minutes of the end of the credits, you've had your setup and now it's time for payoff. With this one, you're more than halfway through the episode before the payoff starts. It's like you have to
get before the actual story starts.
Exactly. Homer and Marge leaving, babysitter bands, and all that stuff.
Bart is apparently, Lisa compares Bart to Chili of the elves.
The elf who cannot love.
Yeah, I really like that. We get to see Marge and Homer dancing. Homer, it kind of foreshadows dancing Homer a little bit. We see some of his moves.
To the Larry Davis Experience, which I'm sure is a reference I'm not getting.
Yeah, they show up later on. This is not their only appearance in the series.
Oh, I was going to say, I had one very interesting thing. The body type for Mrs. Botts is surprisingly unique. Like, generally, the Simpsons have maybe 4 or 5 different body types. You have skinny guy, you have Homer guy, and you have even bigger guy, like Barney or Wiggum. And for women, you have Marge or you have Patty and Selma. And those are your basic body types. Miss Botts is completely different. She's, as far as I know, the only person who has that type of body type in most of the seasons that I can remember.
No, yeah, her character design is really interesting. And I hate that, like, it's a simple shortcut that fiction does in general, that people who look weird are bad, but you know, it tells you right away that she is not necessarily a good person.
Yep.
I do want to, before we move on to our listener question and our best episode ever, I do want to do like kind of a short recap on season one. I don't know. What are your overall thoughts on season one, Matt? I think we can just do that.
Well, honestly, I feel like season one, it was uneven, especially because all the episodes were kind of aired out of order. Because, like you said earlier, season two is pretty much solid from the get-go. There's not a bad episode among it. But in season one, you kind of get a good episode, a bad episode. It's more like a regular show where some are good, some are not good. The animation tends to be inconsistent, although if you think about some of the last episodes produced, it's gotten to the point where it's actually really good, and the stories start to be even more and more original. Because if you look at, say, Homer's Odyssey or Some Enchanted Evening, this episode, the story is very tropey. It's something kind of thing you might see on a different show, whereas Krusty Gets Busted or Life on the Fast Lane.
Right.
You don't see stories like that in other shows.
No, I think that's what the Sims, they're finding their way. You can see in the best episodes of season one that what they become, what the things they're best at, the things they know what to do best.
Yep.
And the things that they, what the show becomes, and you see a lot of traces of this here and there. Even in the worst episodes of season one, you see bits and pieces of like, oh, I see, they realize they can do this, so that's what they're gonna do it later on and better refine things. And honestly, among a lot of other shows, this compares, you know, like you mentioned, like it is as good as a lot of other shows would be, but compared to the best of The Simpsons, it's very, like you said, uneven. And it didn't help that they didn't have their production strategy honed yet. And you see a lot of that in the animation and character designs. Like, they're still figuring it out.
That's true. I mean, most shows have a rough first season when they're still trying to just figure everything out. But The Simpsons have gotten to the point at the end of the first season, they're as good as other shows are at the end of their fourth or fifth season. They learned amazingly quickly what worked and what didn't work.
Especially considering the length of production time on an animated show. It's a much easier to change around things on a live show because you're taping things much more often. You don't have to rely on, you know, fixing animation that could take a long, long time to do. I also want to say that, before we move on, that alt.tv.simpsons is officially started as of this episode. May 1st, 1990, the infamous news group has begun. And it's interesting looking back at that. Any of you guys want to go check it out? It's in the Google Groups. You search alt.tv.simpsons, you will find it. Google has archived all this stuff. A podcast I've been listening to recently called The X-Files Files with Camille Nanjiani, comedian. He's been discussing the news group's postings for The X-Files, and I think it'd be interesting to do the same for The Simpsons because Comic Book Guy is based on the people on this news group. The Simpsons writers were well aware of this news group. And a lot of it so far, it's not a lot. A lot of it's just discussed. They're like people wanting GIFs and sound bites, which has not changed at all. People still want those things. People are posting about couch gags and stuff. And there's typical internet nastiness of people like, oh, couch gags? Really? And like, you know, people being annoying.
People have been assholes since the internet started. Just the way it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The one interesting thing is they're just starting to see all the merchandising happening. Like, there's mentions of people wanting t-shirts, and Fox signs a toy deal with Mattel right at this end of the first season. And people are accusing Matt Groening of being a sellout, which I don't understand that kind of opinion. He's just trying to make money. That's not evil inherently. People certainly wanted it. I remember as a kid, like, if you had a Bart Simpson shirt, you were the coolest kid ever.
That's true, because most people weren't even allowed to watch The Simpsons, let alone wear the merchandise.
Yeah, so there's people debating that. There's a lot of posts about people, you know, banning of t-shirts in schools and all kinds of stuff. As we go on, I will try and find if there's any really interesting news groups from the week of the series, you know, gets released, I will bring it up here as well. With that, I think we can move on to our listener question of the week. A listener question for this week was, what is your favorite Sideshow Bob episode and why? Coming off the heels of Krusty Gets Busted. And we again and again and again, you guys give us such great answers. On Twitter, we got K3K at Catherine Dirks, Black Widower, love when SSB is arrested and yells that he will promptly be back on the streets with all his criminal buds after the Democrats are back in office, which is pretty funny, especially considering Kelsey Grammer's actual, he's fairly conservative politically, so it's interesting to me that Sideshow Bob just mirrors that. Jean-Pierre at JPX9003, Brother from Another Series is my fave. We learned so much about Bob's past, and he goes back to jail just to restore the status quo, which I think that is pretty funny that, you know, oh, you have to go back to jail because that's what happens at the end of Sideshow Bob episodes. We have John at ChoppaStyle311, Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming, taught me that nuclear war could be funny, oh, and Dr. Strangelove. And I agree, Dr. Strangelove is always a good reason. On Reddit, we have Todd Solans, Kate Fear, every joke regarding witness relocation was among the show's best. Sideshow Bob rake joke was hilarious. Years before Family Guy started doing those kinds of jokes 10 times an episode, and it made watching the actual movie Kate Fear freaking hilarious because of the identical shots they used. I kept expecting Robert De Niro to start doing Pilates like Sideshow Bob. Also, we have J.S. Clunk. Since everyone's saying Kate Fear, I'm going to say Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming. Yes, Kate Fear, far and away the most popular answer. Not even close. Like, it's like probably 7-3 out of like every 10 answers, like 7 were Cape Fear. And I tried to highlight some that weren't Cape Fear just because a lot of them were. On Facebook, we have Daniel A. While I'm sure most people will say Cape Fear, and you can't argue with that really, it was a close call for me. I have to say Sideshow Bob Roberts. Aside from being some of the best political satire the show has ever done, it has one of my all-time favorite quotes in It's the Rapture. Quick, get Bart out of the house before God comes. As well as Homer voting for Bob because of his Selma killing policy. We have BJ. saying, the Simpsons fangirl in me will say Cape Fear, but I do want to give a hat tip to the Bob Next Door, which is creepier than what a normal Sideshow Bob episode should be. I really don't want to spoil how crazy he gets, but he gets crazy in the third act. Yes, crazier than normal Simpsons episodes. And finally, we have Thomas. As a Martin Scorsese fan, Cape Fear is a personal favorite because while Sideshow Bob is an entirely original creation, he embodies the film's villain, Max Cady, creepiness effectively. Along with the shinning, this is the biggest evidence that the Simpsons, I mean, the Thompsons, know how to do parodies note for note without feeling lazy. Also, it may be unintentional, but when Cady listens to opera in his car, I feel like it informed Bob characters in such an important way. As someone who saw that episode before the movie, it blows my mind how accurate they are, even though there's shortage of rakes in the film. So, yeah, you guys did a great job. So, Matt, what is your favorite Sideshow Bob episode?
I gotta say, I am partial to Cape Fear and Brother from Another Series, but I'm actually gonna have to go with Sideshow Bob Roberts. The political jokes, the mystery, which it seems to be a hallmark of the Sideshow Bob episode. It usually involves Bart and Lisa teaming up to solve a mystery, and they're a great team, and I love when they work together. They have a witty repartee that I really enjoy. And so, plus finding out that the Pet Sematary votes Republican, which, you know, is not all that surprising, I suppose, but, you know, it's just all around a really tight, really great episode. It has to be my favorite Sideshow Bob.
I am going to go with the crowd, say Cape Fear. There is just so many, the rakes. I love the rakes. I love Homer showing Bart his chainsaw and hockey mask. And HMS Pinafore, Bob singing that, you know, doing the entire musical to end the episode. And then, you know, it's really campy and cheesy. Like, where'd he get all this costuming? It, like, it's really kind of almost genre breaking at the end. But then it goes right straight back to creepy and scary Sideshow Bob. And I just love it. For our listener question for this week, it's fairly simple. We just finished up season one, so we're asking you guys, what is your favorite moment from season one? Simple as that. There's a lot of them. Choose wisely. If I'm going to be posting this question on all our social media, like always. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Simpsons Show Pod. Follow us there. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places is a great place to reach us. I'm posting, like, recently posted links to videos of the Hollywood, of Simpsons taking over the Hollywood Bowl, which is really, really wonderful live performances of a lot of the great Simpsons songs and stuff. It was a lot of fun. You guys should track them down on YouTube. Now, Matt, I think that's almost it for the show, except for one thing.
I'm a Twitter with anticipation.
I think it's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the segment we end every episode with, where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically. Now, Matt, This is gonna give us a final listing for season one. Where do you think Some Enchanted Evening ends up?
Honestly, it's tough for me. I feel like the third act is really good. It really kind of puts an interesting twist on the story, but the animation is just so inconsistent and in some places severely bad.
Bad. You can say bad. It's bad.
It's quite bad. I am probably going to have to put it just above Homer's Odyssey. It's
really?
Yeah.
That low.
It's not as enjoyable as some of the other shows. I mean, like, you had obviously, Call of the Simpsons, and Homer's Night Out, which were good episodes. And I think they're actually better than this one because they're just more interesting to watch. This one is so distracting with the animation that I found it hard to watch at certain points.
Okay. I'm not going to fight you over this one. I could put it up as high as right above Call of Simpsons, or I could put it as low as where you want to put it, right above Homer's Odyssey. So the animation, it really suffers from that. It's unfortunate because I think if they had redone the entire show, I think it would have been a lot better. But so yeah, I'll agree with you. We can call it. No number 11 on on the list. Some Enchanted Evening, right below Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire, right above Homer's Odyssey. So now we have our official list, official best episode ever list for the first season. We have Krusty Gets Busted at number one, with Homer's Odyssey at number 13. Now, Matt, what is the first episode of season two? What are we starting off next week with, starting off season two with?
We are starting off season two with Bart Gets an F, a surprisingly good episode with what I thought was a kind of a silly premise, but it actually, well, I don't want to give away too much, but it turns out to be better than you expect.
No, Bart Gets an F, excellent episode. I'm very excited to get started on season two, where we are going to have a run. This best episode ever has been relatively easy so far. We've only had a few minor disputes, but we're getting on a run of hundreds of episodes in a row that are very good. So it's going to get tough. If you guys want to follow the things I do online, you can reach me on Twitter. I am at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Matt does not participate in social media, so you won't find him.
That's true. I hide, especially during the day, in my coffin. I mean, bedroom.
Okay, Matt. You're officially crossed the line into creepy. That's okay. But I think with that, we'll call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.